And here comes the Bathrop's Piers Broadside Show for February, 12th, 2023. Having all kinds of technical problems putting this show together, so I'm going to apologize now. We aren't going to have much music here. It's going to be kind of choppy, but the interviews, I think, are sufficiently interesting that I want to put them out. So bear with me if you find that it's worth listening to them. You can, of course, skim through them and see if you think it's worth your time, but I think it's worth mine, so I'm doing it. On my stamina, you're going to be hearing from Brent Adams. We did have an interview with Alicia Cool, but we can't, because of technical problems, put it on at this time. Hopefully later in the week, if my techie returns from his trip, but I think he's going to be gone for a week, so that may essentially send this one into the deep six. You'll be hearing some of my commentary and some interviews with folks at the Mountain Community Resource Center protest that happened last Tuesday. That was the second such protest we had there, trying to get them to agree to stop sending people out into the eaves. I should say out from the eaves that they have in their building, or which have been some kind of minimal protection from storm and cold, but they claim that they can't allow people to be there because it's not healthy enough. So that's an interesting theory and doesn't hold much water, of course. We aren't quite clear what our next step is going to be in this process, but people are not too happy with the Community Resource Center. We have been putting out information on the Indy Bay, the Santa Cruz Indy Media site, which you can find there if you look at indybay.org/Santa Cruz. And on the extreme right side, there's a listing of local articles, one of which, actually several of which, both talk about the Mountain Community Resource Center's struggle and also gives you some of the correspondence. You can judge yourself the adequacy of the replies by the management of the center. This entire netcast is going to seem a little choppy because, unfortunately, the machinery broke down, or I should say rather it crashed, both physically and electronically, I guess the word would be, and before I could complete the show. So I have segments of the show that I'm kind of scotch taping together. I'm explaining this in advance so you'll understand why it sounds a little not just choppy, but abrupt. And some of this was recorded in a different time sequence. So what I'm saying now is being said after some of the stuff you're hearing later in the show, which is often the case with the interviews, but not usually with the narrative that connects the interviews, which usually sort of all in one time frame, which is easier to understand. But hopefully you'll be able to pick it up if you listen with a generous heart and an attentive ear. How's that?
Some quick phone calls on the day before that we're doing the netcast on Sunday the 12th, but today's the 11th as I do this show. But for you, I'm going to say, you listeners, it's Sunday, so don't get confused. Anyway, we've got a visit to Berkeley, where I actually in San Francisco interviewed Emmett of the Coalition on Homelessness, who runs the Street Sheet newspaper, which is the sort of San Francisco long-term paper. It actually predates the Street Sheet, the Street Spirit newspaper. Street Sheet precedes Street Spirit by about 6 years.
And in fact, we now have the new issues of the Street Sheet and the Street Spirit both. You can find them at Huff Meetings if you come to them that Thursday, 11 o'clock, at the Sub Rosa Cafe at 701 Pacific next to the Bike Church in downtown Santa Cruz. Or the Street Sheet is, actually, it's been pretty faithfully kept at the library. In the past, I've had some problems with the library, but not recently, the main branch, that is. So you can actually read the street sheet. You can also find it online. And you can also find it at the UN Association at 903 Pacific. I think I said 701. It's 703 is the Sub Rosa Cafe bike church slash address. Or at least that's in the general vicinity. If you get there, you'll probably find us.
And as always, on the cutting edge, protesting, bringing up information from around the state. I wrote for it different points in time, not recently, but they're looking for articles, and so is Street.
Talking about Street Sheet here, the San Francisco Coalition on Homelessness publication, which, as I'm saying, predates the Street Spirit. Both of them, as I said, are looking for folks who have articles about what's been happening in different parts of the state. So get in touch with me if you're interested.
Spirit, in case you're interested, get in touch with me at 423-4833 if you think you want to contribute. Interviews around the town clock, an update on the Union of the Homeless first meeting of the year that they had at the...
And actually, that update I'm not going to be able to do with any at any length, so I'll just mention something briefly now. We have now weekly meetings, or at least we have had a meeting last Wednesday at the Resource Center for Nonviolence. There's another one planned for next Wednesday, which will be, my calendar is not easily accessible right now, but it's in about 4 days. So it's Wednesday, and it's at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. If you want, you can check it out. Union of the Homeless was very powerful in many different cities, in several different cities in California. And it did have some strength in Santa Cruz. They, of course, did the injunction that saved the campground, the Benchlands campground, for 2 years, which was quite a feat indeed. But they then fell down when they did nothing to activate the declarations that were being made, were being solicited from people in the Benchlands after raising expectations and hopes. And I think their main problem is they don't have a lot of leadership. Folks are just simply too busy. But I think I'm going to explain this again, but... they do have meetings now. At least they will have one more meeting Wednesday coming right up, and you can check it out at 4 o'clock. I have some coffee and hear what's going on.
Resource Center for Nonviolence last Wednesday, and we'll be having another one next Wednesday at 4 o'clock.
Apologies for all this repetition, but I'm trying to cover things that might be missing, and then we'll be tending to repeat myself.
612 Ocean, if you want to check it out. You're going to get my somewhat critical analysis of doings there, as well as some positive comments as well, hopefully.
Actually, you're not going to get that analysis because, as I said, the technical facility is not available, but the meeting is happening, and you can certainly go to it. Keith McHenry was leading it. And he does give good and interesting updates, but I don't think he has the time to actually do the organizing for this meeting that would actually get stuff done. But it depends on who shows up, so things can happen.
We have a very savage analysis from Brent Adams, Backstory Brent, as I've called him. Then there's the Mountain Community Resource Center protest, which we had last Tuesday, a little smaller than the last one. We were doing picketing, but we did talk to a few people and got some honks. And I got to say, we haven't really forced them to come to terms with committing themselves to not driving homeless people out into the rain and the cold and not denying them services as a sort of a punishment or a preemptive attempt to rein in their survival behavior, but we're continuing to try, and we haven't given up. I'm not sure if I'm going to play the entire Huff meeting. It was very tumultuous.
I'm definitely not going to play that, not because it isn't worth hearing. Many parts of it are. And I'm kind of impressed with the free-flowing quality of the meeting, the fact that people broke into groups spontaneously. I did a lot of shouting to maintain order, and that you can come and hear a Huff meeting yourself and sample the cookies, have some coffee, and leave when you want, or stay. And if you can stay and you can do stuff, that's even better. That's Thursdays, which I'm probably going to say again on this earlier recording, which I'm playing through because, as I said, this whole meeting, this whole netcast has been spliced, kind of sliced up, and it's kind of going to have to be hard. Well, it's important to put it together, but it's difficult to do. Here we go.
But I did record it, and I also recorded the union meeting, most of which was very technical, involved new procedures or clarifying old procedures for how the meeting should be run, which I always find tedious and not necessarily unnecessary, but the real issue for the union is where's the leadership? The president didn't show up. She was ill, I think she said. She hasn't showed up for the last two meetings. She's got all kinds of other jobs she has to do and commitments. And the person running the meeting was Elise Casby, who is determined but also looking for work and not really in a position to necessarily commit herself for a long-time project.
And the president is currently Alicia Kuhl, who I did an interview with for this netcast. She's doing good work when she can, which is doing video work of police harassment of folks in parking lots, people on the sidewalk. And good for her for doing that. You can find it on YouTube, or you can find it on her Facebook page. And I think I'm going to be repeating this in a moment, so bear with me.
It's very honest about. And the Keith McHenry, who's busy feeding people every day at the town clock and preparing the food, often cooking it himself. So he doesn't have the ability either. So there's nobody really in leadership roles, but the current leadership doesn't want to really acknowledge that in a meaningful way. They keep hoping that, well, if we keep getting people to come to meetings, then somewhere in this process there will be some folks who will volunteer for leadership. I hope that's true. I'm very skeptical of it. I've seen that didn't work for the last, I don't know, year and a half.
And the other problem that I've seen is that there's no follow-up from meetings, generally. And also, a lot of it was, at least early on, when there was action happening, thanks to the assistance of Anthony Prince, the attorney, and dutiful work by Alicia Kuhl, footwork she did, putting together not just the injunction that tried to save the Ross camp, and the one that did save the benchlands, or when it was actually the entire Duck Pond, San Lorenzo Park area initially, but there isn't enough follow up, and again that was seen most, I think, strongly with the problems that came after we realized there was going to be an attack on the benchlands. We knew that for months before it happened, and indeed tried to hold meetings, but the meetings were largely placeholder meetings because there wasn't really the time to organize them or even to prepare lawsuits. And there's claims that we didn't have attorneys and we didn't have enough information about sheltering. And there's certainly some truth in that, too. But the reality is that other homeless unions have actually taken action up in, I guess, I don't know whether it's Chico or Fresno or Novato or Petaluma, I think, actually, it was that. I mean, these are places where there have been encampments that have tried to defend themselves and actually have been successful for certain periods of time, but not necessarily through attorneys, but through in pro se lawsuits that were done by the folks themselves who are fighting to maintain their survival camps.
And I don't see why it's about to work now, but who knows?
That is, I don't see why placeholder meetings are about to work. Just coming to meetings does not mean anything gets done or you actually find any leadership. You have to do it, actually, I think, between the meetings.
Why, that meeting is Wednesday 4 to 6. I've been helping to distribute flyers for it. I'm not sure whether I'm going or not. I usually end up going to these meetings anyway and then wonder why I did, or, you know, actually sometimes get stuff out that I didn't expect. So it's a mixed bag. Anyway, there's also, what else? Maybe getting interviews with Alicia Cool, who has been really holding I don't necessarily the feet to the fire, but asking serious questions of police officers who are harassing people in the parking lots using the parking lot trespass law, which is a nasty ordinance cooked up by Public Works, passed by the city council about 15 years ago or so, that makes it illegal to be in a city parking lot or garage downtown unless you are walking directly through or walking to a vehicle to retrieve it or walking from a vehicle having parked it. That means you can't socialize, you can't sit in your vehicle and, I don't know, the classic example is change a diaper with your baby. You can't have a protest in that area. It's a whole series of attempts to give the police a blank check to go after homeless people. And Alicia, to her credit, has posted some stuff on YouTube, which I think I'm going to be playing the audio of and then asking her about. But you should go see the video, and I'll be making that video clip the link to get to it. You'll be able to find it on the Huff website. If you go to the Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom website at huffsantacruz.org, or if you subscribe, I guess that's the right word, although I don't think we ever have formal subscriptions, to the Huff email, which you just do by sending me an email at rnorse3, that's R-N-O-R-S-E, and then the number 3, at hotmail.com. And you'll be able to, or just go to YouTube and look for, or Facebook, for Alicia Cool's Facebook page, that's Cool, K-U-H-L.
And unfortunately, I can't really play the audio because, again, my technical stuff has been cut off. And just I don't have the time to do it or the resources or the technical savvy at this point. But it does exist online, so I encourage you to check it out.
So let's begin with a boom and a bang, and let's hear some strong words from activist Brent Adams, who I've had a lot of discussions with over the years. We are on different sides of the activist issue, but not on different sides of the critical view of the social service providers or poverty pimp issue. So let's start there. So as I think I'll probably repeat again, I ran into Brent at his 150 Filker Street, formerly his HQ, I guess still his HQ, right at the end of the street that kind of dead ends into the river, and there's a pedestrian bridge that goes across the river. Used to be called Footbridge Services, that he did, where he provided all kinds of things for homeless folks, including mostly the main thing I saw that wasn't dependent on staff or the weather. It was the ability to have homeless folks store their stuff, which was very important and still is very important. And does not exist, really, as far as I know, although I think there's rumors that